Well, if you've got your Bibles, let's open them to the 12th chapter of St. John. I have been reading here in the 12th and the 13th chapter of John off and on the last few weeks, and I just was reading through here, and I was just real impressed with some verses we'd like to read down too. But our thought today is on window of opportunity. And I know that in my own life there's been many windows of opportunity that have come my way. And some of them, we have said no thank you. Some of them we've said, I'm not interested at all. Some of them we have said yes to, and there's been opportunities that I'm sure have presented themselves and we never realized that they were an opportunity. But in the sixth chapter of John, it starts out talking about the time frame between the present, or when he's writing there, and the Passover. I believe it says it was 6 days until the Passover. I don't have that verse in front of me right now.
John 6 or 12.
I'm sorry, the 12th chapter of John, and if I said 6, I meant to say 12. The 12th chapter of John, in the first verse or so, I believe it says it was yet 6 days until the Passover.
Yes.
And it seems that the events in the 12th chapter of John is most likely in chronological order. And we have the account where Jesus came and was with Lazarus that had been raised from the dead, and Mary and Martha, as well as the multitudes that gathered not to just see Jesus, but they wanted to see Lazarus that had been raised from the dead. And if we skip down, I want to start reading in the 20th verse. It says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast," or for the Passover. And I believe that this could have been those that were of Jewish descent. Most likely it was. But they had been raised amongst the Gentiles because of the Israelites being carried off captive at various times. So he says, "There were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" So, to me, there's an opportunity here. The men that come to the Passover, although they didn't live in that particular area, they were interested in seeing Jesus. And they were going to take advantage of any opportunity they could have. Their window of opportunity was fairly narrow, because this is not their native residence or city that they lived in. And they were very curious as to whether they could exercise this opportunity and be able to see Jesus. But there's another window of opportunity here. When Jesus answered and said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified," he was recognizing that There was another window of opportunity opening. And it was a window of opportunity that I'm so thankful that Jesus followed through with. Jesus was aware that One window was closing and another was being opened for mankind. The window that was closing was his earthly ministry, his opportunity to minister to those around him and to share the message and try to convince people that he was the Messiah with miracles and his explanation of Scripture and those kind of things. That window was closing, but there was something that was opening. There was an opportunity made available that had much more potential than his earthly ministry. So the verses that follow describe the transition from one window to another. So he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." So Jesus explains that this transition from one window of opportunity to the other window of opportunity is not something that is going to be an easy transition. There's difficulty involved. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, yes, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. I don't know how many of you have bought sweet corn seed, but the last I checked, it was very expensive. Maybe $16 a pound, something like that. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to buy a pound of sweet corn seed and bring it home and make cornmeal out of it and make cornbread. I want to bring that sweet corn seed home, and I want to plant it in the ground, and I want it to multiply. I want much fruit out of it. But that seed has to disappear. It's totally used up. There's nothing left of it. But it's an opportunity when we plant that seed in the ground and the warmth of the earth and the moisture and the sunlight and all that cause it to grow, for each one of those seeds to put on at least one, and a lot of times it's two full ears of corn, which is what we enjoy eating. At least I do. I enjoy sweet corn. So, but that opportunity, Jesus realized this was going to be a very painful transition. And not every opportunity is easy to open, and it doesn't always appear to be an opportunity. In fact, this opportunity that Jesus saw for the plan of salvation to come fully to pass was one that, as we'll go on here, we find that it was something that he was criticized for even considering or contemplating. A lot of opportunities present themselves as conflict, opposition, loss of progress, or potential. I remember when I went to work, this is one of my opportunities. I went to work as a very young man in a car dealership, and probably within the first 2 or 3 days that I worked there, I was 19 years old, and the other mechanic or technician that worked there was old enough to be my father, and my service manager told me that he wouldn't work on Corvettes, he wouldn't work on diesels, and he wouldn't work on automatic transmissions. So I realized that my opportunity was I had to learn how to do those things to where they could trust them with me, or I wouldn't. I mean, that was my opportunity for real success.
Yes,
so it was not easy. It was not something, because he deemed them difficult or not profitable. And I ended up learning some really, really hard lessons in those areas before I could become anywhere near proficient. So it's many times opportunity is something that we see a need for and realize that someone needs to step up to the plate. Jesus here knew that he was the only one. He was the one that was necessary to pay this ultimate price for the plan of salvation. So I'd also like to say that we seldom get confirmation by an audible voice that this is opportunity and not defeat. But let's go on and read another verse. Jesus says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So Jesus saw the opportunity. He knew what was unfolding in front of him. So instead of him pulling back, he says, "Father, glorify thy name. I'm gonna open this door, even though I know it's going to be a difficult window to go through." The people, therefore, verse 29, that stood by and heard it, they heard God speak to him, said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. So it'd be nice when we realize there's an opportunity, whether it's in spiritual matters or temporal matters, everyday affairs, if we got a thundering and a voice from God that let us know that this is your opportunity. It's time to step in there. But we don't get that very often. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So that was the opportunity that was being put before Jesus, is that the prince of this world would be cast out of his abode in men's hearts. Through Jesus taking advantage of this window of opportunity, he was able to defeat Satan and give us the power, because today we can claim the blood of Jesus and we can resist the enemy in the name of Jesus and have victory over sin. And that's the opportunity that he stepped, opened up and followed through with. And I want us to think just a little bit now of how narrow the window of opportunity was. They started this chapter and it said that it was 6 days before the Passover. And Jesus' time here on earth, living in the flesh, was a tiny sliver on the timeline of the history of the earth.
Yes,
if the earth is approximately 6,000 years old, and I believe that's accurate according to the scripture, he was here about 33 years, his whole life on this earth as a man. And if we made 1 inch for every year, that would make a timeline of about 500 feet long. And that'd be a little over 5 times as long as our chapel is from north to south. It's a little less than 100 feet. So you think about 5 lengths of the chapel, and his life would have been about 5.5 thousandths of an inch. That's about 2 hair's breadths. Mm-hmm. And so his life, the whole time that he was here, and his ministry was about a tenth of that. His ministry was just a little over 3 years, 3.5 years maybe, here on this earth. So that would have made his ministry and his window of opportunity to share the gospel and to bring the plan into place for our salvation about 5.5 ten-thousandths of an inch compared to 500 feet. So I hope you can kind of get a picture of how skinny or narrow or short the window of opportunity was. But he didn't back up. He realized that this was his day. This was the opportunity. And as we look on our opportunities, I've had the pleasure or misfortune, however you want to look at it, at being at an auction and bidding on something and thought I was the bidder. I remember one time I thought I was the bidder, so I just kind of, I thought I'd won the bid because I thought I'd raised my hand or nodded at the auctioneer, and come to find out when the bidding was over, he was looking at somebody behind me, and that person had bought it and not me. And I was pretty disappointed at that time, but it was an opportunity I missed. There's been other times that I was just not paying attention. And an auction is a very fast-paced thing, and you've got to make a decision really quick to take advantage of that opportunity to make a purchase. But Jesus's window of opportunity was very small. It did not look very attractive. It did not appear to be the right thing to do. It goes on here in verse 32. It says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people around him, when they heard out of the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man shall be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus was confident that this was the time and the window of opportunity. No one else felt that it was right, the right time or the right thing to do. The people began to question him. Everyone, including his disciples, questioned his actions and what he said. When Jesus had made the decision earlier to go down to Judea and go to Jerusalem, his disciples questioned that. They said, "Lord, you know, if we go down there, they're wanting to take your life." And now when Jesus said, if I be lifted up from earth will draw all men unto me, they knew he was talking, you know, I'm sure it probably sounded a little different in the Greek, but his words were implying that he was going to be crucified. And the people said, "That how is that going to be? It's not making any sense. We've heard that Christ abideth forever, and you say you're fixing to be crucified. How's that going to, how is that the opportunity?" So they did not accept that this was the right opportunity. They felt like he was making a bad mistake. They felt like he was going down the wrong path. But we notice here in John 12 and 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." So it went here from Jesus recognizing that this was his opportunity and realizing that it was not pleasant, realizing that it was not an easy opportunity. If someone is in my presence, whether I'm at their place or in their car or something like that, and they look at me and they say, hey, would you like some ice cream? That's an opportunity for me to say yes, and I like ice cream. So they could say, well, you want to stop for some ice cream? I'm buying. That's even better. So if we stopped and got the ice cream, it's like, my, that was such an easy opportunity to take advantage of. It sounds good. It tastes good. And, oh, it's just a good opportunity. But if somebody said, hey, you any good at chopping wood? And I might say, well, I've done it a little bit. Would you like to help me chop some wood? It don't sound near as much like an opportunity. It sounds like a responsibility. But Jesus' opportunity to bring the plan of salvation to mankind was even more difficult than chopping wood. It wasn't this ice cream cone situation. It was a difficult opportunity, but yet it was a tremendous opportunity for mankind. So Jesus then went from that to telling them, here's your opportunity. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. So this morning, I'm just wanting to tell us that although Jesus took advantage of an opportunity and made the plan for us, now it's our opportunity to take advantage of the light, the understanding, the revelation that Jesus is there for us. He wants to help us. It's an opportunity to become a new creature. It's an opportunity to gain victories. It's an opportunity for us to, it's the best change that any man can ever take advantage of. It's an opportunity that we dare not take advantage of. While we have light, life, and breath, while we have our right mind, while we have the rational ability to take advantage of it, this is our opportunity. We will be a much smaller sliver than the life or the ministry of Christ when compared with eternity. If we think of this narrow little window of 5.5 ten-thousandths of an inch on a 500-foot scale of the timeline of the earth, you know, we think that is so that's such a small window of opportunity for Jesus to take advantage of and provide the plan where we can be saved. But look at our opportunity. If we live to be 100 years old and we have full use of our mental faculties all the way up till the day we pass, our window of opportunity is so small compared to eternity. And if we spend eternity without God and without gaining the victories that he wants us to gain, look at how small that window of opportunity is. So Jesus said, yet a little while, you have a small window of opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Amen.
Step right up there and say, Lord, I want it. Help me to be able to get a hold of this and gain the victories that I need. He says, while ye have light, while we have understanding, it's our window of opportunity to conform to his image. The future around us has so many uncertainties. The odds of having an opportunity to get everything taken care of at the last minute is not very good. If I push things off and say, well, you know, someday, you know, when everything is right, what did Felix say? When there's a more convenient season, I'll call for you. But he never did. We don't have any record of that. And I really believe if he had of, there would have been something in the scripture that would have told us that Felix had called and said, I want to take advantage of the opportunity. But we don't have that record. And many times that's what happens is people get right down to the end and they don't have that opportunity.
Yes,
so may the Lord help us. In James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is to sin. To him it is sin. So, Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunity, the window of opportunity to resolve any discrepancies in our relationship with God. When God deals with us about things in our life, that's our opportunity. That's the window we have to take advantage of it. In James, the first chapter, in the verse 23, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we can't afford to be the person that is looking. We have a window of opportunity. There's a time in our life when we know the Lord's dealing with us about something, and instead of moving forward with it, we back up. We look in the mirror, we see it, we recognize this is our opportunity. It don't look like ice cream. It looks like wood cutting. It looks like something we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So we turn our face and we go away from it. He says here, it's like a man that hears a word and not a doer. He's like a man looking in a glass, in a mirror. And after he sees it, he goes away and he forgets what it's all. He forgets.
Yes, that's true.
The spirit that's dealing with our hearts, it pulls back and it's not as fresh and the opportunity passes. You know, probably not the time or the place, but I've had opportunities to own some pretty unusual vehicles. I think of those times, and you know, every time I said no to those opportunities is because I didn't have, dispensable income. I didn't have the discretionary money. I didn't have anything to go buy it with. Because if I'd had it, I would have bought them. Because it was an opportunity. There were things that I passed up on that'd probably be worth 10 times what they were then. I think about it sometimes. It's not that I dwell on it, but it's like, oh, you know, I wished I could have done that. It'd been kind of neat, or it would have been valuable to me or whatever, but I didn't have it. But Lord, help us not to pass up on the window of opportunity to get everything cleared up. Why would we go along? You know, it's kind of like somebody... The scripture talks about one man having a mote in his eye and the other having a beam in his eye. Well, why would we go along limping spiritually, maybe with a splinter in our toe or under our finger, in our finger or something? Why don't we stop and say, Lord, I got a problem here. While you're dealing with me, I want to get it fixed.
Yes,
I want to walk
amen.
Uprightly. I want to walk circumspectly. So our opportunity is when the Lord's dealing with us. And if the Lord is talking to us today, I want to challenge us to not pass up that window of opportunity. Don't allow the devil to snatch that opportunity away and cause us to feel that, oh, well, It don't really matter. I'll take care of that when it's really important, when it really matters. No, today is a window of opportunity. What if Jesus would have said when his disciples told him, now, be careful, we go down there. You know they're looking for you. They're going to take your head off if they get a chance. And Jesus said, you know, I think you're right. Maybe we'll just wait. Maybe we won't go down to Jerusalem this time. You know, I'll listen to your counsel. That's pretty good sage advice. What if Jesus would have missed the opportunity to die on the cross for me? Where would I be today?
That's true.
But he didn't miss the opportunity. Was it pleasant? It sure wasn't like ice cream. It sure wasn't a pat on the back. It sure wasn't walking up to the stage and getting a trophy. It wasn't like that. It was difficult, but yet it was the opportunity. And we may face some difficult opportunities, something that's not easy on the flesh. I just want to challenge us today. If the Lord's been talking to us, just say, Lord, Father, glorify thy name. That's what Jesus said. He said there in John 12 and twenty-eight. He said, "Father, glorify thy name." And that's when Jesus heard God's voice. And I believe today, if the Lord is visiting us about anything in our life, when we recognize this is my opportunity, this is the time that the Lord wants to do business with this particular thing in my life, whatever it might be, if we will say, Lord, glorify your name, I believe there will be something that happens when we open that window of opportunity and take advantage of it. Might be like digging out an ingrown toenail, but you'll feel better when it's all over. So I trust the thought today will be a blessing and a challenge to us all. I've been challenged to be courageous and take advantage of the opportunities spiritually that come my way. I don't want to fall short in that. You pray for me.